Well, today is your day because you guys get to hear from Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com, the man on the beat in Kansas City that actually has some information for us. Rather than my conjecture, downfall, et cetera, what did these Chiefs do? How did they get in this position? What do they do to get out of it? All today on Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, friends and neighbors. We're brought to you by Bet Online today. It's the place that's got you covered for all the information you need. Odds, lines, bets, and props. It's Bet Online where the game starts. You can get all that information there. We need to get some information from Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Matt's here to kind of set us straight what this team did and didn't do and what they need to do going forward. I think there's a big red button they got to hit. It says reset on it, but we'll get to that later in the show. Lot to go over here. Check out ChiefsDigest.com for everything that Matt does. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and Performance Consulting, as well as NFL33.com and RGR Football. Thanks for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Grab another Locked On show for your next one. Lot going on, Matt. First, simple thing, transaction. Taylor Stallworth had an issue. He's no longer with the team. They did give him his release. I had a lot of fervor going on the speculation that this is due to a bad roughing the passer call. That's not really it, right? This was overall performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this was not – I mean, and honestly, I mean, Andy Reid thought that was a bad call. So, I mean, he didn't think that was Taylor Stallworth's fault. This certainly – I mean, we'll put the pieces together. I'm assuming that this is clearing the way for most likely Brandon Williams. I mean, it could be Danny Shelton too, but seems like there's just too many puzzle pieces here to put together that Williams is the next one to step in here. Maybe Stallworth sticks around. I mean, I know his agent is going to be looking to try and get him on with another 53 somewhere else at a place where he can play immediately, but you never know in these situations. So worth keeping an eye on. But it's not a significant piece. I mean, Taylor Stallworth has been a rotational piece. Certainly he's been in there of late. But it's not what I would necessarily call a significant move at this point. I mean, I don't think it's a significant change of any sort on the line, but it will change the rotation a little bit with whomever ends up taking his place.
Yeah. Taylor Stallworth was part of what I think is the most underperforming position group from this last game against the Bengals. We've had a couple days to decompress. We're taking a bigger step back. Is that still hold true for you? Is it come down to the trenches, specifically on the defensive line here, but the trenches in general where this team was lost or where this game was lost?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still reflective of the fact that everybody has a piece of that loss. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that you can really say is free of blame and no position group that's free of blame for that loss. But no doubt, I mean, I think the most disappointing performances were in the trenches on both sides. The fact that the offensive line wasn't able to protect Mahomes that as well as they have been of late. There was a lot of pressure involved. I mean, they were getting beat by 3 and 4 man rushes, and you just can't let that happen. So offensively, that was a problem. But defensively, this is the Bengals team that gives up a lot of sacks and a lot of pressures, and they didn't get Joe Burrow down. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. You look at what were the two most disappointing performances, I think, were absolutely the offensive and defensive lines.
I think that's where you have to start in putting it back together. But we got to fully tear it all the way down. This was an offensive line that's been improving lately in the Bengals group. I think maybe they hit their peak against this, and that kind of leads me towards my bigger overall. When it comes to the physicality, they had a couple of comments made, particularly by some of their defenders, about how they felt all they had to do was go out and show this team that they can be physical, and they felt they could dominate the Chiefs again. Now, domination is not part of this equation because that didn't happen on either side of the ball, in my opinion. But does it come back around to you that the opponents are still singing the same song, that if you out-physical the team and that you can out-physical the Chiefs, that you will get a win?
I mean, that's certainly is the, I think, the perception around the league, and that's, you know, certainly the case that a lot of teams make. I still bring it back to this point, which is that it's a lot easier to do that against the Chiefs than it is for the Chiefs. Because, I mean, once again, we talk about the fact that for a 17-game season, bringing your A game and your A effort and your A energy every single week is impossible. Now, the disappointing thing is that this was the game that you were expecting an A energy, A effort week. This was supposed to be the week the Chiefs were supposed to put that bullseye on somebody else. And it didn't really happen. I mean, maybe you can make that case because this was a close game. Both teams played pretty well. Both teams made some mistakes. I don't think that energy was necessarily an effort was, you know, the reason the Chiefs lost. I mean, I think they got out schemed and out executed. That was the bottom line. I mean, and now maybe in the off in the trenches, maybe that was where the effort and the want to was better for the Bengals side. And that's the case. It shouldn't have happened because this is the one game, maybe two games on the schedule. This in Buffalo, where the Chiefs should have had been able to match the energy level of their opponent. But I mean, I can't really necessarily chalk this up entirely to an effort performance because I think that the Chiefs had the effort. It's just that they got out schemed, I think.
I agree with you on the scheme part, but I will say this. Execution is about want to for me. And when it comes down to who did and who didn't, like you said, this should have been one of those games where Patrick was throwing high. The offensive line was getting penalties for, you know, playing through the whistle too far. Like, I wanted to see the signs of overhype rather than what I felt was lackluster, particularly in the first and fourth quarters, maybe the key moments of the game. How do they rebound from that? How do they reset off of that part and make sure that they don't allow anything else to creep in?
Yeah, that would be my fear after this is, you know, the letdown effort, because I mean, this, I've had this asked me a couple of times today. And I mean, I do. I mean, I feel like this is the Broncos are kind of the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, if you bring a lackluster performance, then Broncos can sneak up on you. They're not a good team, no. But if the Broncos score 19, 20 points, they can win this ball game if the Chiefs don't bring at least a decent effort. I mean, if they look past this and say this is just a throw your helmets on the field kind of game, we're a 9, 10-point favorite, this is an easy game, Broncos can come up and bite you. So you got it. You can't let the letdown effort. Now, I don't think Andy Reid's going to let that happen because how often did the Chiefs lay two stinkers in a row? It doesn't happen very – and I can't even put the Bengals game as a stinker. It's a disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But how many times have the Chiefs put two disappointing efforts together? Doesn't happen very often. So I expect a better performance this week. I think that they're going to be the more focused team. Let's see what happens because I mean, that shouldn't be hard because the Broncos are a mess right now. So the one thing you just have to guard against, though, is a letdown.
I kind of relate this to Stranger Things and the Upside Down, and we're going to get to that on the backside of this. Here's a little message. It's got to tell you about our friends over at Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With them, you can book any car you want, anywhere you want, from a community of local hosts. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for any kind of occasion or for your budget or whatever you're looking for. You can get an SUV, a minivan for maybe a family road trip, maybe something you got to carry a lot of people around. You can get a pickup truck if you got errands to run and you need bed space. You can even test drive one of those fancy EVs if that's what you're looking for. Right now, every trip is backed by liability insurance. It's terms, conditions, and exclusions. They do apply, but you can get something local to you whenever you want. Forget booking rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. Now, the reason I mentioned Stranger Things is, well, because the kids were rewatching it the other day, but also because it reminds me of a couple of things that are flipped here for this team in this ballgame. And one was the fact that despite being completely outnumbered and a lack of experience, it seemed like the position group that was most ready to play was the cornerback group with all those rookies out there. Maybe I'll just expand that to DBs in general, because I thought Cook played, you know, only seven snaps. I still don't understand that. But part of that rookie group that did play, I thought, well, is that because they don't know any better? Is that because the lack of history with this Bengals team is a plus in this case?
It could be, but I honestly think that part of it is that it's the makeup of that rookie group. I mean, that's the kind of personality that they have. They're not going to shrink away from a fight. They're not the type to be a wallflower. I mean, this is a group that is willing to get in there, to stick their nose in there, to play physical. I mean, that's who, I mean, I think Trent McDuffie, Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson. I mean, I think that's the kind of guys those players are. So that doesn't surprise me in the least. I mean, and if anything, I echo what we talked about after the game on Sunday. I was really impressed with the effort of the young guys in this game. you know, facing the Bengals for the first time and not being surprised by anything and being able to take their best shot, stick in there, stand up to them and take their best shot instead of some veterans whom I think almost looked like they'd never played the Bengals before or were not ready for the physicality or the speed. And we're disappointing in their effort. I mean, that was kind of the surprise to me, is that I think the younger guys gave a better effort than some of the vets did.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's difficult. And I'm trying to like make the delineation between experience and just not knowing any better being a plus, because the other thing that I think really reminds me of a flip in expectation. I was really pleased with the play call in terms of doubling down on what we've seen from the run game in the last few weeks and utilizing it in a way that helps you maintain balance, helps you be a little bit more physical, and helps you, I think, overall be a more stable offense. But when they weren't running, despite all that, I thought they got really vanilla. I didn't feel like they had enough drawn up in a rarity for Andy Reid to exploit anything that they have gotten. It seemed like, again, it was a narrow game plan. I thought the things, after rewatching, the thing that was left on the table over and over and over was getting to the edge with the jet sweep action in particular, certainly with any of the pitch game that they didn't use. Was this just too much bought into the last game film that they had and not expecting it to change again?
I mean, I'm kind of conflicted on that, because I'm of the philosophy that, to a degree, maybe it wasn't vanilla enough. Mm. I mean, I thought that I saw two defenses on Sunday that were just willing to say, hey, we're not going to give up we're not going to give up the big play. We're going to keep everything in front of us. We're not going to let either of these teams beat us deep. We're not going to let Joe Burrow, Chiefs were down and determined not to let Burrow and those receivers beat them deep. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. They did a pretty good job of that. But as a result, they were willing to die the death of 1,000 cuts. And they did. And I think the Bengals defense was playing the exact same. I mean, even though I think that they did a better job than the Chiefs did as far as disguising what they were doing and mixing things up and keeping the Chiefs offense off balance. But they were still the philosophy, not going to let Patrick Mahomes beat them deep. And as a result, there was a lot of stuff underneath that the Chiefs left on the field. And that has been the theme of every single game and loss that the Chiefs have had to the Bengals is, sometimes you, as you know, my catchphrase with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, sometimes you have to eat your vegetables. And the Chiefs were doing that on that last drive. I mean, they absolutely were. They were marching down the field. They had, what, two short passes to Kelce. All the rest were runs and getting Jerick McKinnon involved and Pacheco. They were running an 8-minute drive, bound and determined to run out the clock and score with little or no time left. And then they go back to their DNA of who they are, which is don't take what's there. Don't try and just move the chains. Look 15 yards downfield. Look to push the football. That wasn't the time for it. And I think if they'd just taken what the Bengals were giving them on that final drive, I think they win the football game. But that's not who the Chiefs are. It's not who Patrick Mahomes is. And I think it got them in the end.
So the bigger question as we look past this game, and we're going to talk about what it means for this coming week in the next segment, but farther down the road, the high expectation of a rematch with this Bengals team in the playoffs, what do they have to take away from what we've seen this week that is yet another wrinkle that they have to add, change in order to finally beat this Bengals team?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of things, but I mean, offensively, I think to me, it's pretty clear. I mean, they have to be willing to go against type. They have to be able to surprise the Bengals and do something that they typically don't do. Now, we talked about it. I mean, all this season, they've done a better job of facing up against teams that have thrown the things at them that have given them difficulties in the past, whether it's been the defenses that rely just purely on the two high shells. If it's a defense like the Bengals that, you know, want to bring only three or four and drop seven or eight, they've been doing a better job of that. They just need to do it consistently. And I think most importantly, they need to do it when the other team doesn't expect them to. I mean, I look at it now and I'm like, I don't know why in the final 4 minutes of a game, a team bothers to cover anybody in the first, you know, 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, because Chiefs aren't throwing the football there. They're not doing it. I mean, they might run a little bit, but eventually they're going to do what they do. And I think the Bengals are stuck with that plan. I mean, the biggest way to confuse a defense is to figure out your own tendencies and then go against it. And you know what? I mean, that the third down, that Pacheco had for the touchdown in the red zone, great example of that. This is something the Chiefs don't do very often. if you play against type, you got a chance. So to me, that's what they got to do offensively. Defensively, I mean, I almost want to say it's the exact opposite. They need to play more who they are. I'm not sure I completely recognize that defense on Sunday, because a lot of their success this year, I think, has been coming from playing aggressive, especially playing upfield, you know, along the defensive line, trying to get to the quarterback, trying to get upfield as quickly as possible, you know, Spagnuolo using his blitzes. I thought they played pretty passive on Sunday for the most part, you know, and, you know, I have the voice of my dear late friend Therese Paylor going in my head saying, you know, the Chiefs offensive line was playing patty cake at the line. They were playing patty cake on Sunday, and that's not their style. I mean, they're much more successful, and they've been more effective the last few weeks when they've been playing that Joe Cullen aggressive get upfield style rather than more finesse. So to me, that's what I need to see these two teams do. I mean, the defense, I think, needs to play to its strength, do what it does best. But offensively, at some point, you're just going to have to surprise teams. And I don't think that they did anything to surprise the Bengals on Sunday.
There's a lot of ways to take that. We'll talk more about it later, but this is also part of the case that you expect to see them again. What they're going to see next is not a team that should scare them, but a team that they have to not ignore. How do they move forward and turn the page towards the Broncos? We'll tell you that after a word from our friends over at BetOnline. When you need to get into the action, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to check all your betting information for all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one source for all the odds, lines, games, and everything you need to get your money on the line in a smart way that gets you ready for whatever season you're looking for, whether it's this football season, could be baseball, NFL, NHL, NBA, even the golf and the combat sports are there at BetOnline. It continues to be the top resource for all of your sports wagering information, your live in-game betting, podcasts, scores, everything that you need to get covered. Head over there to BetOnline. It's easy to get to their website from any device, including your phone. It's BetOnline, where the game starts. I can think, honestly, Matt, of fewer things that are a better cure for what we just saw happen against the Bengals than having to go to Denver and play the Broncos. So this, I think, is the definition of a trap, of a letdown game, because it's been a futile outing so far in 2022 for the Denver Broncos, particularly on the offensive side. I am concerned at this point that because a certain player who had an outspoken outburst last week continues to be in the social media realm, not focusing on the new opponent. Is this a team that is too distracted by a letdown against the Bengals to really give the Denver Broncos all they deserve?
I mean, if they are, I think this coaching staff is going to give them a wake-up call on Tuesday and Wednesday. I mean, let's see. I go back to what I said earlier. I mean, you just don't see that the Chiefs come out with two disappointing performances in a row. So I almost want to cross off the idea that they're going to come out too flat or too down against the Broncos. But, I mean, they've got nothing but trap games on the schedule the remainder of the way. I mean, almost every single game that they've got, it's going to be a trap game. Even what I think is the best team on the schedule in the Seahawks, it's kind of a trap game, because I don't know if the Seahawks are just a team that anybody takes seriously right now. I mean, maybe it'll be different in a few weeks, but, you know, Chiefs are going to be 9-10 point favorites in almost every game the rest of the way. So the Broncos, and they play, and remember, the Broncos are two of those games, so they're going to be in that same category. But these two teams are in the same zip code right now. The Broncos offense is absolutely beaten and lost, and they're playing decent defensive football. There's no doubt about that, but there's just no way that the Chiefs should be getting involved in a game like this. I mean, this should be one that they win comfortably, but you're right. You don't show up and respect your opponent, that's going to be a problem. And the Chiefs are showing signs right now of maybe not showing their opponents the right amount of respect. And I'm perplexed at Justin Reed. I mean, for no other reason than this is a guy that would be one of the last guys I would pick out of the locker room to be talking trash and starting a fight. I mean, he's a pretty mild-mannered dude. He's smart guy, kind-hearted. I mean, all these things. He's not the one that I would think. And I don't know if it's just that, you know, he's feeling a certain amount of, you know, expectations to live up to being the new Tyrann Mathieu and all of that. And, you know, maybe he's trying to do some things that are out of character. Probably right now just needs to stop tweeting about opponents,
right?
And stop trying to trash talk, because it's not working. But I'm perplexed that Justin Reed's the one that's doing it. There's a lot of other guys that I thought would be the first ones in to throw their hat in that ring.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And from people I know inside the Texans building, they're not that surprised because this has happened in the past down there. He learned it early from Tyron the first time they played together. And so I think part of that's rubbed off. I just think it has to come to an end because if you let this one Bengals loss derail your focus, this can ruin what so far right now still looks like a team that can take the first seed in the AFC. I still feel that way. Do you?
I mean, I do. And, you know, and some of it's going to help in that, you know, they've got a lot of AFC West games. And that's one thing that this team does take, you know, seriously, our AFC West games. They take seriously defending Arrowhead late in the season. And they're going to have, you know, more games there. I mean, after this three game road game stretch finishes up, they're going to be able to close things out, you know, with more home action, and that should help out down the stretch. But looking at their schedule and looking what the Bills and the Bengals have to do, neither one of those teams are going to run the table. And, you know, both those teams might suffer at least two losses down the stretch looking at their schedule. I mean, that's distinctly possible. If the Chiefs run the table, they're going to be number one seed. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So that's the one thing you just have to guard against with what they've got left, though. Or any letdowns, because like I said, these are all letdown potential games because none of them on paper are going to be stiff matchups. You're going to have to bring a certain amount of focus every week. And this is a tip of the spear for me, because if you don't put down the Broncos seriously, if this isn't a double digit win, there's a problem. There's something that they've got to fix.
Agreed. This should be, you know, a horse with a broken leg. Like, you got to put them out of their misery. You get a chance to do it again in a couple of weeks, but it needs to happen now. I also feel like this is a chance for some aspects of the game to get doubled down on, a little bit more experience. I do expect some of the younger players to be able to play a little bit more. Leo Chanel comes to mind in particular. Anything else that you think can actually grow by playing an opponent like this right now after this loss and really help the team improve?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, especially coming after a game like the Bengals where, you know, the bench wasn't very deep. There wasn't, you know, there were some positions that really shortened up and didn't do a lot of rotation. I'd expect that to change this week. You'll probably see a lot more faces in there and in some specific spots, and that'll be good. We'll see if there's any lineup changes. I'm not expecting that, but, you know, there always could be. And, you know, we'll see if there's any injuries that are popping up that are going to, you know, require any changes. And really the only thing I'm focusing on Wednesday from the injury front is just to see how, you know, Patrick Mahomes does feel. Everybody was talking pretty good about his foot after the game on Sunday, but you never know how those things are going to play out. I'd be interested to see if he is completely free on Wednesday. Something to watch for, but at least at this point, nobody seems to be too worried about it, but I want to see how he is.
Yeah, I agree. We can't let that sweep under the rug there. That is going to be something significant if it bites them. Lot to go over as they get ready for the Denver Broncos. We're going to have more for you tomorrow as they face that team and all of our predictions and breakdowns, tendencies and matchups on Friday. Don't miss that. And don't miss anything over at ChiefsDigest.com where you can get the inside scoop from Matt himself, the man on the ground. Thanks for all the time and setting us straight, Matt.
Always a pleasure, Ryan. Take care, buddy.
You guys have a good one. We'll be back tomorrow.